Correct. And that has a lot to do with the community supporting the police, the local government supporting the police, giving them the tools and the training so they can safely and effectively do their job.
John Culpepper, Athens Clark County Commissioner, District 7.
These really totally unvetted people, we don't know anything about them, but it's sure coming home to roost now.
That's Athens State Senator Bill Kalsert. In effect, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but he could be characterized, Governor Kemp and others could be characterized as blaming the Biden administration lax immigration policies for the horrific murder of Lakin Riley, Augusta University nursing student killed last week, 6 days ago in Athens, body found on the University of Georgia campus. We'll move on, I promise, but I want to ask our guest here, Commissioner Athens Clark County Commissioner John Culpepper, and again, we move on from this soon, but do you in any way look at the Biden administration, the federal government, as it, do you blame those folks for what happened here?
Well, it's definitely a federal issue. If we had better control of the borders, these individuals wouldn't have come across. So, yeah, I mean, I think there's some blame there. Absolutely.
A lot of work behind the rail, a lot of issues we can discuss over the next few minutes here. You're part of an effort to look at roads and streets and enhance street safety in our town, vehicles, pedestrians, bicycles. What's the status of the work here?
So we approved beginning of February the local road safety plan that really provides the framework for identifying, analyzing, and prioritizing roads. The local roads and how we can improve them. This will be a collaboration between the Athens-Clark County government, the DOT, UGA staff, and the general public. And we're going to look at focusing on four areas, intersection safety, reduce distracted driving, pedestrian and cyclist safety, and also reducing impaired driving.
Okay, pick and choose here. Let me start with that distracted driving thing. I'm impressed by it. If you look at the data, it generally bears me out on this, obviously some exceptions, but generally speaking, we've done a pretty good job with DUI. It's across the boards, drunk driving, impaired driving is largely on the decline. Okay, Uber and different things that make it easier for people not to get behind the wheel when they shouldn't. But those phones, it's amazing to me to look and see, and I do a lot of running, I do a lot of walking, and you look around, and I've learned to spot that driver and see if that driver's paying attention to me, because often they're paying attention to the phone. I don't know what you do about that. We have state laws, but they only do so much.
Yes, the state laws, and we need to enforce those, just education. I mean, we've got to educate the youth about the dangers of it. I mean, it's a lot of, provide the data of what can happen and do everything we can on the education side.
I hear you. I'm just blown away by the notion that you have to be told. Hey, 16, 17-year-old, you're behind the wheel of a car. Maybe time to put the phone down, which I guess is just counterintuitive to a 16 or 17-year-old or a 19 or 20-year-old college student, because they live a life they've never put the phone down for any reason.
I know. I agree. And phones are very addictive. And that's something that's really hurt our community. I mean, our nation is how people have gotten so addicted to looking at their phones all the time. But think about back with safe seat belts.
Mm.
You know, why did we have to do that? And now, when you get in the car, the first thing you do is you put on your seat belt. My children correct me if I don't put on my seat belt. And that was due to education. So I think we keep enforcing the education, doing things like that. It will help curb the distracted.
Fair point. I'm old enough to remember. You remember this? You and I maybe about the same age. I'm maybe a little older. But people would. There was a time. Hey, kids. There was a time when you would get in the car, and it would make a noise. Right? It would. Some buzzer would go off if you didn't buckle your seatbelt. We all figured out how to disable the buzzer. We weren't going to buckle up. We just didn't want to hear the buzzer. And then came, I guess this would have been the 80s, then came, I don't know, a $25 fine for not wearing a seatbelt. And suddenly came the mindset, I don't want a $25 ticket. Flying through a windshield, being thrown out of a car, was not disincentive. A $25 fine was. You're an Athens Clark County Commissioner. You explain human nature to me. I mean, I don't understand that.
It's just like the old, I remember when they came out with the cars that had the seatbelt. When you'd open the door, it would roll and it would open, and then you close it, it'd buckle
close
you
it behind
in.
You, yeah.
But you could always disconnect that, and a lot of people do that. Yeah. It's just, it's become a mindset of people always put their seatbelt on, and hopefully that will happen with distracted driving.
Yeah, and hope so. That it was. It's just terrifying to see the kids and the phones, and they're not just staring at it; they're texting. It's very, very frightening. Other aspects of this street safety plan, focusing on, for example, problematic intersections. Do you identify those? I suppose over the course of the coming weeks and months.
Yeah, that's part of the research. What they'll do is they'll identify the ones that are causing the most trouble. And then analyze what we can do to fix it. 75% of the fatalities and serious injuries in Athens are at intersections.
And a relative small handful of them. I mean, you identify those and I suppose then work with, some of this will be DOT, some of this will be local, but you figure out what to do to make them better.
Correct.
Commissioner John Culpepper in studio with us this morning. I ran into one of your commission colleagues, just bumped into him, waiting in a restaurant or something the other day. We got to talking about the rental regulation, rental registration, the short-term rental issue that you folks have been dealing with, looking to get a handle on the Airbnbs and the Vrbos and such. A conversation out of school, I don't think he'd mind me sharing it, but at least my portion of it. What I said was this, is one more of those issues that indicates why I don't want to be an Athens-Clarke County Commissioner, because there's no right answer here. You have competing rights. You have competing interests. My rights as a homeowner in a single-family residential neighborhood and my rights as a property owner to do with my property within reason that which I want to do. I don't see an easy way to fix this.
You're exactly right. It's difficult. There's both sides of the story. You know, I wouldn't want somebody having a VRBO next to me and having huge parties. But it's just the same thing as how they created multifamily zoning. Way back when that was to help single-family neighborhoods to have houses where multiple college students or multiple people could live in the house. But before this ordinance was passed, people were purchasing investment property with the right intentions. You mm-hmm. know, there was nothing on the books about VRBOs and short-term rentals. So now you're changing the game. You're changing the rules of the game to them. I don't think that's fair. I think if we can find a way and the county's going to utilize software to identify the ones that are not abiding by the rules.
Well, that's the thing I said to Commissioner Hamby. We know who the problem people are. We know where the problems are. But the difficulty from your perspective as an Athens-Clarke County Commission is crafting an ordinance that legally separates the problem makers from the people who are doing it the right way.
Correct. And that was one of the comments that I made when we were voting on this the other night is, we don't have the data. So let's get the data and then craft the ordinance. But we came to a consensus and we passed the ordinance, but we sent it directly to government operations to revisit it. And one of the things to revisit is the sunset clause. And because right now there's basically, if you were grandfathered in, it only lasts for 2 years. And the Government Operations Committee is going to revisit that language and also some other items within the ordinance.
Commissioner John Culpepper with us. My understanding, too, the House looking at some legislation that speaks specifically to this, whether it gets across the finish line by Thursday, I don't know. But my understanding is that whatever the House is looking at would not apply to what you folks have just done.
I think you're correct. I don't know exactly what the House is looking at, but I think that's correct.
Commissioner John Culpepper, very quickly, a minute or so left here. We've shut down the homeless camp out there off Barber Street. What do we do next?
Well, the county hired a company to do a homeless strategic plan before I took office, and they did the study and created some areas for us to focus on, and one of the things is focusing on helping, working with the local nonprofits and investing in them. And that's my thing. We don't need to be in the homeless business. We don't need to own any property, or a homeless encampment. Let's invest in the nonprofits that are actually doing that.
And you're associated with one of those, as I understand it. This became a bit of an issue. You're on the board of what, the Salvation Army, right?
I was on the board. I stepped down due to they thought it was the best. Things so there wouldn't be a conflict.
I can't get my mind around that. Why would that be a conflict? I don't understand. I'm missing something. Some of your commission colleagues considered it a potential conflict. I'm missing something.
And I don't know. that's fine. My main thing was to help get the folks off the street. You know, I don't want to get in, whether it's a conflict of interest or not. I hate that I had to step down because I enjoyed being on that board. But if that's what they thought was proper, and I'm going to listen to the county attorney, and that's what they suggested. So, and that's fine. But, you know, we are getting money to the Salvation Army to help them increase their capacity. But we also need to work with all the nonprofits in town. This is something that I wanted to do that we could do quickly, because going through the RFP process, if you looked at the timeline, stuff wouldn't be voted on and awarded until May, when you had the encampment that was closing in December. Mm-hmm. You know, how could we get the folks off the street quicker instead of waiting until May? You're going through the winter months. This is something we could do quickly.
Athens-Clarke County Commissioner John Culpepper, District 7. Athens-Clarke County Commissioner John Culpepper, thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you, Tim.
727.